Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezvik, the reporter, Nick Kieser, here with you on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your day so far. It is a good one, for sure. We got a big show planned for you today. There's a lot to get into, whether it's the Titans, obviously things going on with the NBA and Ja Morant, the playoffs. We will hit it all today. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Is that a
today?
Northwestern shirt? Are you supporting Peter Skoronski today?
Wow, would you look at that? I have Northwestern apparel and Kentucky apparel. Go Wildcats.
Yeah, you're just however all about
you
the
would,
Wildcats.
However you would like to say that. Yes. It honestly, to be honest, I have about 5 laundry baskets of laundry because I've been traveling so much that it was really the first thing I saw this morning as I'm using my phone flashlight.
You're just like, I'm going to just grab it.
Yeah.
Go for
I needed
it.
A sweatshirt.
Well, it's a nice sweatshirt.
Yeah, there
I
mean, you go.
Look, I'm
purple.
You know, I don't care.
Fashion tip for everybody listening. Purple looks good on everybody.
This could be a fun, this could actually be a fun, like collar driven segment for whenever. But I have some random sports shirts like that are not my team's.
Mm-hmm.
And like I have a Mississippi State Bulldogs shirt. And the reason that I have that is we had gotten it from my grandfather because he went to Mississippi State.
Okay.
and he passed away like a few months after we got it for him. So I kept it and I wear it every now and then. So,
I have so much random sports gear, especially vintage stuff.
Yeah.
Like old championship shirts. Ooh, people probably got some good memorabilia.
I would love to. This can be our question of the day.
This is question of the day.
Yeah, there
love
you go.
It.
We just randomly wandered into it. This can be our question of the day, 615-737-1025. You can text in our text line driven by WilsonCountyHonda.com. What's a random piece of sports clothing that you have that's not your team?
Yeah, I really like that. And
you'll have fun with this.
And
I do have a UT hoodie.
oh, dude, does he? Nick, did you hear that?
I didn't buy it.
Okay, that's fine.
I didn't buy it.
I'll go first on this really quick to start off the show. I'll get people's brains going of all their fun sports apparel that they have. But I have a vintage shirt from 1997, the national championship. It's Kentucky, Syracuse, UMass, and Mississippi State in the Final Four. So it's Kentucky. Went to school there. Syracuse went to school there. And it's when Coach Calipari coached at UMass.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like one of my favorite pieces of random sports.
But see, that to me has a connection to you because it has Kentucky and Syracuse.
True.
Or did you get it before you went to either place?
No, I have a friend who owns a vintage sports shop. And he was like, I need you to buy this because you must have it. So I was like, yeah, okay.
I'll yeah. No, that's a good one. I mean, mine's the off
UT.
The top of my head. I have a okay, so I do. I will admit that I do this. So when I go to a ballpark for the first time, I try and buy something, you know, from the park.
You should just get the pin that says it's my first game.
I've gotten the pin, but like I think the White Sox logo is really cool and the hat.
Yeah.
So I bought a black and white White Sox hat that I only wear when I go to Sox games. And
you should wear it in front of Rex Road.
Which yeah, I know I should do that. I was given a Cubs hat when I went to Wrigley. Because they were handing them out that day.
Okay.
So I have that. I have a Reds hat from going to Great American.
Do you have your Cubs and White Sox hat next to each other, just like your Vanderbilt sweatshirt and your UT sweatshirt?
I don't know where the UT sweatshirt is, to be honest with you. It's probably in the bottom of a closet somewhere.
Well, that was a fun little fashion sports segment to
yeah,
start
I mean, look, I think it would be fun to go through my closet and see what all I have. Josh in Kentucky, I have an authentic NFL Ray Lewis Pro Bowl jersey from 2003.
See, that's random but fun.
Yeah, no, I like that. That's good. That's a good one. So, yeah, we've randomly stumbled into that. 615-737-1025. But we will get into the Titans because I've been listening to this for the last week that now that, you know, some of the veteran players have been talking, we've heard from Vrabel a little bit in the you know, with the rookie camp going on. Mm-hmm. Everybody's really excited about this new offense. And my question is, how new is the offense actually going to be? I still think they're going to be a run-heavy offense, which is okay, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, no big deal with that because that's how they're currently built. I don't know if anyone noticed, but they didn't really address receiver.
No.
So that's going to be. But how much is actually going to change? How different is it going to be? Ryan Tannehill talked about it being up tempo and, you know, things like that. This was Tannehill from May the 4th talking about Tim Kelly and the new offense.
About the changes that are being made in the offense, are any of the protection things changing as far as how you guys are doing protections, maybe to get the ball out a little quicker? And if so, are you happy about that?
We have a lot of changes, yeah. And the whole system's pretty much different, including some protection stuff. So, you know, we'll have a variety of different ways to get the ball out, whether that's getting the ball out quickly, normal drop back or play actions like we've had. So just like every offense in the NFL, you got different ways to attack the defense, and we want to use all of them.
So he says it's going to be different. It's all going to be different. And then, you know, I know a lot of guys have talked about the up-tempo and everything, and that's great. Like, it needs to be different because – the last 2 years, quite frankly, weren't very good. Todd Downing just wasn't it, and mm-hmm. that, and you know, and so now they've moved on. I'm excited about the prospects of it. That if this is in fact the case, but you know, I still look at the personnel and they're thin mm-hmm. on offense. Maybe the offensive line will be better, and that'll obviously help in the run game with Derrick Henry, and then the additions in the running back room, but. You know, how explosive can this thing actually be?
Well, and I think, too, last year, Chase, almost everything went wrong, right? Your quarterback goes down. Your offensive line is depleted. Dennis Daly's a turntable out there. You have your
meet my quarterback.
You have your number one wide receiver in A.J. Brown. Treylon Burks.
Who?
Your number one wide receiver in Treylon Burks. Be out with some, like, the concussion and the turf toe things that are not avoidable. And then you have a predictable offense in Todd Downing. So I think when you look at it this year, you can definitely see on paper what they've done to improve it with the additions to the offensive line we've talked about. Will we know how much better it will be? No, not until they get pads on and not until they're actually blocking against an NFL defense out there week one, to be honest. And then you hear from Treylon Burks yesterday, and that's promising. Okay, you know, he said he stayed here the entire offseason. That's exactly what fans want to do because there is so much on him to actually be that number one wide receiver this year. And then in addition to that, you have Tim Kelly. You know what Tim Kelly has done in Houston with Deshaun Watson, even helping Davis Mills take that extra step in early on in his career down there in Houston. Now he comes and you're hearing from guys like Ryan Tannehill, like Chig Okonkwo, who spoke a couple weeks ago on how it's faster. They seem re-energized. It seems like, okay, they are happy with this offense and they are happy with the changes because as much as we can talk about the offense is predictable, I'm sure when they watched film back that they probably thought similar things. I mean, we're not football minds here. Yeah, we talk about sports for a living, but these guys eat, sleep, live, and breathe it. I'm sure when they saw some of that, and it was clear that by the firing of Todd Downing that they all knew that in the building. So you just feel a sense of them being re-energized and that there's a sense of creativity there. And that's what I got from Chig Okonkwo and Ryan Tannehill's comments, Chase.
Yeah, and I agree. I think that they are re-energized. Wes in Clarksville says the defense will carry us this year. And that's fine. If they can just get – they don't have to be 31 points a game, but they need to be better than 17, which I think is what they were last year. So
you need to be able to score 24 points a game.
Yeah,
to win
in the NFL. If you're around the three touchdown mark and then, you know, three touchdowns and a field goal, then I think you can win some games with that defense.
I agree.
So, but you know, how quickly are they going to be able to master it all? That was one thing that Treylon Burks talked about yesterday, the challenge of learning a new scheme.
What's the challenge, Treylon? I mean, you learned on offense last year, it's a year long. Now all of a sudden, you got a new scheme to learn as well. Is that a bit of a challenge?
That's where it goes back to me just being here throughout the whole offseason and not going nowhere. So I was able to just meet with the quarterbacks, meet with Tim, Coach Rob, Vrabel, and just get ahead on things. And that's what I wanted to do. And so I'm at a good state at it. I'm on a good pace with learning it. And it's fun.
And that I love hearing that it's fun. Mm-hmm. That's what it needs to be, because that's going to get these guys, you know, just motivated to – and not that they need motivation, but it. I think it's only going to help if they're having fun with it. And look, he's going to be the big key in all of this.
Well, wide receivers, I mean, everybody playing out there likes to have fun. I mean, but they're also doing it as a job, and it's not always fun. But, you know, you think of the wide receiver position, it's flashy. When they can go out there in big plays, who doesn't love it? You love to celebrate, and you love to be in an offense that allows you to thrive under that, allows you to be that wide receiver who can go out there and, in double coverage, make an incredible catch and get some yards after the catch. And I do believe that Treylon Burks, we saw some glimpses of it. I think about that, actually, the play where he ended up getting the concussion in Philadelphia when he went up against one-on-one with I think it was one of their cornerbacks, and he ended up getting hurt during that play, but that was a huge play. Or when Derrick Henry fumbled the touchdown and he ran behind him. So we saw glimpses of it, and I think that he was in this building all offseason. You got a new offense. He was there learning. Embracing every second of it is all you can ask for from him.
It's amazing what we hit on when we randomly throw stuff out there. 615-737-1025. A piece of random sports clothing that you have that is not your favorite team. A lot of you are weighing in on the text line. We got a couple of calls as well. Steven, hold on. Donnie, hold on. We'll get to you coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game.
How far along are you with the terminology, and how much of the terminology has changed?
I would just say I'm up to date to every install that we install, you know, and really hadn't, I wouldn't say it changed much, but, you know, y'all can ask Vrabel that, so that part of it.
And I'm sure he'll answer it, Treylon. That was Treylon Burks yesterday, meeting with the media. Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063, The Game, 615-737-1025. Our question of the day that is taking off, a random piece of sports clothing, random team that you have that isn't your team. And the question or the answer of why you have that, I guess, is the best way.
And it sparked it because I'm wearing a Northwestern
sweatshirt. Yeah, that's what happened. I mean, it was to show you that we are authentic. That was as authentic as it gets. Aaron in White House says, I have a black Chicago Bulls Michael Jordan jersey since he was from North Carolina and I grew up there.
That's cool.
I do have some Jordan stuff, but
like everybody does.
But I mean, I was a Jordan fan because I mean, he was at his peak when I was a kid. So
I'm trying to think if I do. Honestly, there's been cool brands too who have taken just sports moments. Like I think of the one of Michael Jordan with the cigar in his mouth.
Yeah.
And then that's been rebranded on so many different
shirts and things like that. Let's see. Matt from Camden has a 1996 Miami Dolphins Dan Marino jersey.
That's cool.
That's a cool one.
People, these could be worth something someday.
Corey has an empty glass RC Cola bottle from 1963 that has the UT football schedule on the side of it. That's cool.
Oh, that is really cool.
Brian and Gallatin, I have a Devin Hester Miami jersey. I'm a Vols fan, and my dad is a Hurricanes fan. I was going to give it to him on Father's Day a few years back, but I decided to keep it and bought him a Ray Lewis Canes jersey instead.
Return maniac.
I know. Steven on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Steven, what's up?
Hey, Steven.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, so I grew up a Cubs fan, still am, a Chicago Cubs fan. I grew up in Florida, but, you know, hey, it was during the Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire era that I really started paying attention to baseball, and then it just kind of, I became a Cubs fan. Well, a few years later, my father and my mother, they went to Seattle to get a business convention thing, and since me being a baseball fan, I was like, hey, Dad, get me a jersey, because, you know, I always like the colors. Well, they come back with a custom-made, a fully tackled twill Seattle Mariners jersey with my name and number on the back. And I still have it to this day. It's in the closet. I think, and they got it for me when I was like 10, and I think I've worn it maybe twice just because it's white and it's so nice. I even cut the tags on. And just another little story. More recently, I bought a couch from somebody, and he was trying to get rid of a bunch of stuff. And so he and my wife and I are both Bama fans. Well, he had this this women's Kentucky Wildcats jacket. And it was really nice.
Can I have it?
Well, my wife likes it too much now. So, because, you know, I told her, hey, it's SEC. It was free for us. And it feels really nice. And she wore it last. We just got it last winter. And so, yeah, that's what my wife has. So I'm a Cubs fan with a Mariners jersey. And we're both Bama fans with something Kentucky.
We love it, Steve.
Okay. I like that. Good call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, sometimes it goes that way.
I mean, I do like some of the Vols apparel, but will I ever? I can't.
Yeah, I will admit. So I was at a store that was going out of business, and so they had a bunch of stuff that was on sale and everything, and it was cool because they had like a, you know, SEC section, but then the UT had its own section. They had a Titan section and Preds and all that stuff, and so I cleaned up. I mean, I bought a ton of stuff, but I was walking through and they had a UT baseball shirt that looked pretty cool.
I didn't
buy it.
Vanderbilt, I do like the black and gold, though.
Yeah.
They have some vintage stuff in there. Well, vintage looking.
I want stuff with the new logo. I was kind of hinting at that with our with our thing. I'm like, oh, I need some new logo stuff. Hint, hint.
I know. I will say, sorry, this is complete tangent. Bookstores are probably one of the most overpriced clothing stores ever. I mean,
yeah.
I was in New Orleans a couple weekends ago, and the Tulane bookstore, I mean, it's just a Champion sweatshirt with Tulane on the front. It was
$157. Like, $157?
Outrageous.
For a Tulane shirt?
Sweatshirt. Bookstores are outrageous. Outrageous.
Look, I like Tulane, but...
But it's bookstores in general.
You don't need to be charging $157 for a shirt. But nobody does, but especially Tulane.
But, like, Vanderbilt, I mean, like, all these bookstores.
$157.
Dude, it's more... I guarantee you it's way more common. You go into an official bookstore of anywhere, any school.
And we wonder why students are broke.
Don't buy the sweatshirts, kids.
Like,
go to Goodwill. Hey, you'll find some cool ones.
Here's a beat up textbook that has things written. By the way, I got to show you. Speaking of that, another tangent. But here's a beat up textbook with stuff written in it for, you know, $157. And then here's a sweatshirt.
I wonder which one people are choosing.
I know.
Go sweatshirt.
Did you have like in school that you buy? Like I always bought used textbooks because. I feel like a lot of people did that, but especially in college.
I would feel out of class to see if you actually were going to use it first.
Yeah. But a lot of times, like, it was cheaper even in high school to buy the used one because it was the same.
Yes.
Nothing had really changed. 100%. Now, there were some workbooks and stuff that you had to get new, but there was always, like, you would turn to a page and there's, like, something written in it or, like, a picture or whatever. And I saw this meme on Instagram earlier today that was that I can't necessarily share it, but it says turn to page 23. You turn to page 23, and it's got like something inappropriate written on it.
Of course it does.
And I was like, yeah, I remember that. That was how it was all the time.
Of course it does. A lot of people texting in some pictures of stuff. I have a bunch of Dale Earnhardt. Wow, words are hard this morning. Diecast cars. Somebody says, I will never own anything that isn't one of my teams. Ooh, Andrew from Dover. I have a Jordan Wizards jersey.
Oh, wow.
A James Heat jersey and Cavs jersey. And I'm a Grizz Lakers fan. So people have... Okay, Adam in Portland. I have a Dodgers shirt that I bought when Freddie took off. Really mad at my brother-in-law. Now I'm back with the Braves. There are a couple weeks when... Okay, actually, that text doesn't make sense, but he has a Dodgers shirt.
Logan says several Oklahoma Sooners hats. My dad worked insurance claims in that area years ago. Couldn't give a damn about the Sooners, but have the hats also logo golf balls.
Oh, there you go. I think
that's random.
I think we might have a winner, James. I attended a Will Perdue basketball camp when I was a kid. Won Michael Jordan's practice jersey from 1988. Reached out to Will not too long ago to verify that it was MJ's.
That's
this is really cool.
Cool.
And then he sent pictures in too, and it's signed. It says Will Perdue basketball camp, and then it's got a signature on it. Pretty cool.
Ryan from Chicago, easy on the greenway. Sorry.
They do have pretty cool apparel, though, I will say.
Look, I mean, I'm nothing against Tulane, but
honestly, any school, I would not pay.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like, even if sweatshirt. Even if it's Alabama, you don't need to be charging $157 for a damn sweatshirt.
Maybe 57.
Even then, I mean, how much does it cost to make this stuff?
Inflation, man.
No, it's not inflation. It's It's taking advantage of poor college students.
It's everything. It's all the above.
Like $157. You have got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. Another one. I have a Pekka Rinne signed game-worn Team Finland World Cup of Hockey jersey. That's cool.
Okay, and that's awesome. That's cool, but I feel like that you would want to have – I'm going to assume you're a Preds fan.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, a team that you don't give a crap about, like, at all. You just, for whatever reason, you randomly have the shirt or the hat or.
Well, I'm like you, Chase. I'll go to sporting events and I will buy a hat, something in relation to whether it's the ballpark, whether it's the arena. I mean, if it's not outrageously overpriced, I'll buy something there because it's a memory going there, if that makes sense. And we're sports fans, so I'll rep it, but there are some non-negotiables. You will never catch me. Well, actually, that's not true because I lost a bet and I did have to wear UT orange, but it was Robbie's, so it wasn't mine. I will never buy anything UT or anything Louisville, anything Duke. And as much as I absolutely love the baby blue UNC, I will never buy anything UNC. So those are my four.
Well, yeah, you're not allowed to as a Kentucky fan.
Exactly. So those are my never touch any of those. But when it comes to just other teams, cool apparel, yeah, I'll buy it. But I do have my four that I will never.
Most of my stuff was given to me, except for the baseball thing. Like, I'll buy, you know, but even a lot of those were given to me.
Or like a free hat day or something. I can't believe you accepted the UT sweatshirt.
Yeah, there's a story.
Vandy fan?
I am a Vandy fan. Go Doors.
Yeah. The ongoing joke.
Junie Riddle says, I have so much Mark Martin gear because my grandfather was the biggest fan. He told me if I ever got anything Jeff Gordon, he'd disown me. No, your grandfather was a smart man.
There you go.
Jeff, here's another topic for another day. Like, and I think we've kind of done this before, but like a guy that you hated, like a sports figure that you hated, but then like you eventually liked. Jeff Gordon was kind of that for me. Like, I hated him growing up because he won all the time and he was on Hendrick, and then Dale Jr. joins Team Hendrick, and it's like, okay.
One of mine, which is opposite that, I absolutely love Johnny Damon, and then when he went to the dark side of the Yankees, I hated him.
But he was different. He cut his hair off. And
he changed.
Shaved and everything. I got a Preds hat that for some reason has Auburn Tigers colors and the symbol on it. I hate Auburn, but love the orange color of the hat. That was probably like a college night.
It probably was a college night. Tyler has a great one. I have a Wayne Gretzky Blues jersey, but I'm not sure I can bring myself to wear it.
That is a good one because I think a lot of people forget that he played for the Blues for like a year, and I think he was a captain too. I mean, no, he wasn't the captain.
Well, it's these iconic players when you jump around to teams, and it kind of brings up the choice is yours conversation we had on Robbie and Rex this morning. You know, what was one player who at the end of their career played at a random team and you just wish it didn't happen? Like Favre with the Vikings, people talk about. Maybe you were a Packers fan and then somebody gave you a Favre Vikings jersey and you're like, I have it, but I could just never wear it.
He wasn't the captain. Then what the hell is this C on his jersey? Nick. He's shaking his head like, no, he wasn't the captain. And I'm like, it's right here.
Look, maybe he was briefly, but I don't know if he was captain like completely for a whole season or anything. He could have
been. I think he was. I think they, because he was just so great, they were like, here you go.
Well, because he went to New York to end his career, so maybe he was for a few months. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm telling you, every picture of him in a Blues uniform has a C on it.
He got the C.
So there you go. Coming up next, we've had fun with this. We'll shift gears. We'll take more of your texts and calls on this later as we go on. But this Ja Morant thing, where is this going to go? This is obviously a big issue in the NBA right now. Adam Silver has weighed in on it. You'll hear from him. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Like a year ago, did you have any indication or any concern at all that it might go this way?
It's interesting. A year ago, we had heard that Josh out on the road was a little out of control. You know, we had certainly heard those things. And it's funny how you look back at the All-Star game a year ago. There was video of him flying on a private jet, drinking and celebrating with his dad. And at the time, it was, look at that. Look at what a joyful, embracing life kid he is, you know, like, or young man, whatever. Like, and now you look back at all that, and it takes on a very different tone. So there was some thought that maybe Ja was getting ahead of himself and a little out of control. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of NBA players party. You know, James Harden, obviously known for his fondness for strip clubs and whatnot. So I don't think it felt cataclysmic. But then these things started stacking up one after another after another. And it does. It looks like a player who was 4 years ago essentially an unknown, 5 years ago certainly at Murray State, essentially an unknown, who has had $200 million dropped in his lap and incredible fame dropped in his lap, and still thinks that he should be the 23-year-old who can hang out in an SUV with his buddy Devontae Pack and a gun and weed or whatever it is. You know, it's sort of like, it feels like he is aggressively rejecting the responsibility that comes with his fame and fortune.
It was Jeff Calkins earlier today on Robbie and Rex Row talking about Ja Morant and the situation there. Back here chasing Michelle. 102.5, 106.3, The Game, 615-737-1025 is our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we're broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. And I'm curious of where this is going to go. Because, you know, like right now on ESPN, Chris Mad Dog Russo says Morant should be suspended for 40 games. Stephen A. Smith has said he's talked to people that said it could be a year. He could get the whole season. It could be half a season because he's committed this violation before. And my question is, what is fair? Because, like, I understand from a breaking the law standpoint in this instance, he didn't break the law, but he broke the NBA law. And I mean,
the code of conduct.
And so they're trying to change their image in a way and create an image that, you know, is good for everybody. And also, I mean, as I brought up when we talked about this yesterday, read the room, man. There's a lot on this right now. Mm-hmm. Read the room. And he didn't do that. So I think the NBA is going to take that into account.
I agree. And, you know, when the first incident happened about 2.5 months ago, it was more of an issue because it was an away game. It was something that they had there. And there's a clear rule under whether it's a, you know, code of conduct for the players that there are no guns allowed on team planes, team locker rooms, anything along those lines. They couldn't prove anything that, you know, he had it in those areas, but they weren't an away game, and this is where that happened. And then, you know, in Tennessee, I understand people saying, well, he's not breaking the law in Tennessee. No, I get that. This isn't a breaking the law conversation. This is a code of conduct conversation. And when Adam Silver says that after the first incident, they had a conversation on how this is not acceptable in the NBA, this is a very serious matter. The NBA is something that young kids look up to. And, you know, Adam Silver, as the commissioner of the NBA, doesn't want that being a representation of the league and players who could be the face of the league someday. So, you know, I look at this situation. I know you said Mad Dog said 40 games. I mean, I wouldn't doubt if it was in that range, 30, more than a quarter of the season. And quickly, before we get to Adam Silver's comments, I mean, his friend Pack, who he was with in the car, he's already been suspended for all of the Memphis Grizzlies home games for a year after the incident in Indianapolis that Ja Morant was involved in. And he realized before Ja did that, oh my gosh, I need to flip the camera over because I saw what Ja just did in the camera with the weapon. And he realized it before Ja did. It was just, it wasn't smart behavior, especially since all of this has been going on.
He doesn't think. Ja Morant did release a statement via Adrian Wojnarowski. Quote, I know I've disappointed a lot of people who have supported me. This is a journey, and I recognize there is more work to do. My words may not mean much right now, but I take full accountability for my actions. I'm committed to continuing to work on myself, end quote. That was Ja Morant. Here was NBA Commissioner Adam Silver and his response to what happened.
What did you say to him about how much more severe it would be if he did this again?
Well, we talked directly about the consequences first before we got to a subsequent potential to have done something wrong. We were very focused on the misconduct that was in front of us at the time. And frankly, most of our conversation was about how incredibly serious the first incident was of waving, you know, a firearm on, you know, on social media. And again, you know, and the consequences there, an 8-game suspension was pretty serious and something that he, at least to me, seemed to take incredibly seriously in that time. And we spoke for a long time about not just the consequences that could have on his career, but the safety issues around it. Could have injured, maimed, killed himself, someone else with an act like that. And also the acknowledgement that, as you said, he's a star. I mean, he has an incredibly huge following.
Yeah.
And that my concern, and I thought he shared with me, that millions, if not tens of millions of kids globally would see him as having done something that was celebrating in a way. You know, that act of using a firearm in that fashion. And so I at least was left with the sense that he was taking this incredibly seriously. So honestly, I was shocked when I saw this weekend that video. Now, we're in the process of investigating it. And we'll figure out exactly what happened to the best we can then. It's, again, it's the video's a bit grainy and all that, but I'm assuming the worst, you know, but we'll figure out, you know, exactly what happened there.
So here's my takeaway. That was Adam Silver, NBA commissioner. And number one, I've said this before. I think Adam Silver is probably the best commissioner of all of them. Now, Gary Bettman's up there. I mean, I know Bettman gets booed, but he's done a lot of really good things for, even though people hold, you know, lockouts and stuff. But I think Adam Silver has done a really, really good job since he took over as NBA commissioner.
I agree.
And I could hear in that clip, Michelle, that that's a guy that not only is he disappointed, but he feels betrayed because he thought that we were past this. He thought, okay, we had a talk with Ja. We only suspended him 8 games. But I could, you know, I felt like he was serious about this and he knew. And then he goes and he turns around and does it again. And so to me, if I'm the Grizzlies, if I'm Ja Morant, and he even said it in the clip, I should be prepared for the worst because I think the hammer is about to drop.
I agree. I mean, I think the whole situation earlier this year, the tone of Adam Silver's voice was, I thought we were on the same page. I thought there was an understanding that this is not tolerated. And now fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's why I have a feeling that there could be a significant suspension in the future for Ja Morant, which, you know, unfortunately is going to lose him a lot of money. Lost him a lot of money last year when he was out for 8 games, wasn't all All-NBA, that lost him a lot of money. You know, this could hinder him from getting that Supermax contract. And Nike has already come out with a statement on saying that, you know, they might do some sort of parting ways for a bit. So, you know, what could that look like? This is now not only affecting time on the court. This is affecting money. This is affecting his life. This is affecting the league. And, you know, I look at this situation too, and Ja Morant releases a statement after he hears what Adam Silver said on the lottery coverage last night, hours after the fact, during the Lakers and Nuggets game. The video's been out for days now.
Right.
The media coverage on this has been out for days now. But you're only going to make a statement after you hear what the commissioner said.
Sure.
Are you truly sorry?
No. It's weak. And there's a couple of texts that I want to get to and thoughts that people have. But there was one person in particular that I saw on ESPN that I disagree with. Okay. And I really like them, but I disagree with where they're going with this. We'll discuss that coming up next. Also, take your calls and text 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. Hey, be sure to join us, 1025 The Game, for the second annual Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament presented by Gary Force Acura and benefiting Souls for Souls on June 7th at the Hermitage Golf Course. President's Reserve, very nice. You can put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities like Michelle to support a great cause and have loads of fun. Plus, you'll have a chance to win some awesome prizes. So sign up to play, sponsor, or you can make a donation at thegamenashville.com/golf. Very cool thing that we're going to be doing.
I'll be in a golf cart somewhere, whipping around.
Will you? You're not going to play?
I might.
We want you to play. They're not going to let me play.
I might hit a couple, but I'm bad.
I mean, I'm awful, but I said, like, yeah, I'll play this year. And, like, no, that's fine.
Well, I did used to work there, so I know the course like the back of my hand. So I'll be a celeb shooter, right? So I'll go to different teams and maybe help them out.
Last year we had a bazooka thing that you could fire a golf ball,
yes,
which was cool.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah, check that out. And thanks to Gary Force Acura for jumping on with that. Talking Ja Morant right now and what the NBA should do with him after another video surfaces of him showing a gun. They've talked to him about that, told him not to do it, and he does it anyway. You can tell that Adam Silver is disappointed. I think he feels betrayed. And look, this is a very good text because there's a lot of different directions that this conversation can go, and I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a hot topic. But my thing is you got to read the room because, not going down the political rabbit hole here, but I do think it is way too easy to get a gun in this country. It just is. And I have no problem saying that. I also have no problem with, if you believe in the right to own one, that's fine. But as Corey says on our text line, as a firearm owner, one of the first things you're taught in any firearm safety class is to be responsible with your weapon and never pull it out unless you 100% intend to use it.
Yeah, I think
that is spot on.
Corey hit the nail on the head with that one, and that's what we're talking about. Ja lives in the state of Tennessee. You are allowed to have guns. This is not the conversation. He is allowed to have that. It's the being intoxicated in a strip club, pulling it out. In the situation of whatever happened the other day in a car, pulling it out with no intent to use it, no situation in which he would need
to
use it in. So that, I think, is where they're finding it concerning on the NBA level. The exact law, so right here, the NBA takes gun matters very seriously as going as far to collectively bargain a provision, which is Section 9, which explicitly prohibits players possessing a firearm of any kind in numerous settings. Players also must notify their teams about firearms and proof of registration.
Yep.
So they have a specific section in their collective bargaining agreement that is players, everybody in the league, they take it very, very seriously.
So a texter says, should it be the same suspension that Gilbert Arenas got when he brought a gun into the Wizards locker room? I think it was 43 games. See, there is some gray area because he wasn't in a facility.
Yeah.
It was just – but I mean, this is something that he and the commissioner have talked about. And so that leads me to what J.J. Redick said on ESPN. And he's been on this morning talking about this of, you know, how much he should get. And there's some points here that are valid, but overall, I think I disagree with him. Here is J.J. Redick.
So a couple things. Number one, don't condone Ja's behavior. And I'm not – Ja Morant is not an idiot, but it's idiotic behavior. It is. I think also how sensitive everyone is right now to guns in general.
Absolutely.
I think that sort of factors into the outrage of this. My initial question is, has Ja Morant broken a law? Right, the Colorado police investigated. No law was broken. You know, as far as we know so far, no law has been broken here. When we talk about a 25-game suspension, historically speaking, that's steroids. You know, you're cheating the game of basketball. That's going up into the stands and fighting fans. That's, you know, Gilbert, I think, got the whole season or 50 games, whatever it was, for bringing a gun into a locker room. Now, that is in violation of league rules. We have every season meetings with NBA security. They go through the gun laws with us. They go through the protocols with us. You know, as far as I know, there's no law that's been broken. The perception of what he is doing, given the incident last summer at his house with the 17-year-old, given what happened with the Indiana Pacers traveling party earlier this season, and then following up with the like, there should be a suspension. You know, given that he already served 8 games, 2 of which he obviously couldn't play, but he served an 8-game suspension. I think I would start sort of looking at a 16-game suspension, right? Mm-hmm. Doubling up. And there's a lot that I don't know. There's a lot that we don't know internally with the Memphis Grizzlies and internally with the league. We're not privy to everything that's happening in Ja Morant's life right now. We're not privy to everything that's happening behind the scenes with the Memphis Grizzlies organization. I do think a 25-game suspension for this is too severe. I'm not a fan of the behavior. I don't condone it, but I would generally start it probably doubling up what the suspension has already been, which was 8 games.
That was J.J. Redick on ESPN. I just think there's more to this, and so I'm going to disagree respectfully. Now, I thought he presented his points well, and you know, he said he didn't condone it, and there should be a suspension, but there are past transgressions at play here. And you know, as we've talked about, you know, and obviously it's very different to talk about, you know, hard fouls and things like that and past mm-hmm. transgressions like, you know, a Draymond Green or something like that. And then this, they're two very different things, but there is a ledger. And I think that Adam Silver is going to look at that ledger like, hey, we've talked about this. You're not getting it. And so what do you do? Like if you have a kid that you're like, hey, do your homework, and they're coming home and they're with Fs because they haven't done their homework. I mean, they're not getting the point. So you have to up the punishment.
Yeah, I disagree with J.J. Redick there in what he said. Nobody's saying he broke the law. That's why there's no legal action. That's why there's no legal action involved in it. Ja Morant, after the first incident, which you can read between the lines, they couldn't prove it, but it was an away game. He had his gun in a club in Denver. They could improve how we got it there, but if you connect the dots, there's probably a pretty big chance it was on some team plane, it was in some team locker room, but they could improve it.
Yeah, I mean,
they could improve that it was there. This is Ja Morant had a conversation with Adam Silver about 2.5 months ago after that incident. It is clear by Adam Silver's comments in the lottery broadcast to Malika Andrews last night that he is very disappointed. He said he was shocked that after that conversation, something like this happened again. I don't think a doubling that suspension, essentially just upping the ante a little bit for what he has done, it's an accumulation of everything that has happened this season. Because, you know, all the way back to the allegations that he punched a 17-year-old, the incident after the Indianapolis Pacers game where his best friend, Devontae Pack, who he was in the car with in this instance, has been suspended for a year for Memphis Grizzlies home games. And Ja is an employee of the NBA and clearly is breaking a code of conduct. And when you're a public figure, if J.J. Redick was in the state of Tennessee and did the same things that Ja Morant was doing, J.J. Redick is a public figure. I'm sure the president of ESPN or any public figure out there, their boss would not be okay with those actions. Because the unfortunate truth is, when you are in the limelight and you're a public figure, your company, who you work for, they hold you to different standards. And when the NBA specifically has a code of conduct in play, and you had a conversation a little over 60 days ago with the commissioner of the NBA, and he laid out to you that this is not okay, and then you go ahead and do it again. Right. I mean, if Adam Silver gives him a 16-game suspension at the beginning of the year,
Adam Silver will get a lot of pushback for
what
that.
What does Ja think? Oh, I'm out for the first 16 games. They don't really matter in the NBA anyway. It's an 80-game season, so then I'll get back in there. I mean, you're not showing that you're being serious about this, I personally believe.
Yeah.
I think this needs to be 25 to 30 games, to be honest.
Look, I think it should get, half a season. That's what I think. But obviously we'll continue to see how this unfolds. Coming up next, we jump back into the Titans, and there was something interesting that I've noticed has been deleted now, but on the Titans and the question of, does Vrabel already hate Will Levis?
It's deleted.
It's been deleted.
Ooh.
We will discuss that next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you got to do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're going to give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.